Good morning. It's a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok, on this Thanksgiving Eve. Of course, a major travel day in our region. Just an urge of caution. We've, of course, seeing some weather that's moving across the country, and including by tomorrow, some heavy winds in our area. Could even ground some of the balloons of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. But it's always good to remind people, if you want to make it to your family, take the extra time.
That's right, David. I think people have to always remember you can miss a holiday and you can live a much longer time. There are people all over the country who should just go home and stay there. I mean, it's a terrible thing to say because people are so intent on having this wonderful holiday. But your safety is the most important thing. And you really have to put that in perspective.
There's some stories moving on the Associated Press. The headline, some Thanksgiving menus, turkey with a side of impeachment. Some people heading to their Thanksgiving gatherings predict it's not just the turkey that will get roasted. Already polarized over Republican Donald Trump's presidency, Americans are deeply split on looming historic impeachment. Many families reflect the nation's division, setting up heated holiday debates in households with a taste for politics. We see the latest polls showing that the needle isn't moving, pointing
That's
to this
right.
division.
This has never been about the substance of the terrible things that Donald Trump has done. It has to do, David, with the haves and the have-nots. It has to do with those people of privilege who are afraid that the skin colors of the people who are going to be the majority in this country are going to threaten what they have. That's what this is really all about. I think many of these people just can't stand Trump, to be honest with you. They think he's really hurt them. Nevertheless, they are concerned about this other thing, this takeover by Hispanic people, black people, poor people, and that is what this is really all about, which is why the needle is not moving, because the people are committed to that philosophy of control.
White House budget official said two aides resigned amid Ukraine aid freeze concerns. The two aides expressed some frustrations about not understanding the reason for the hold. This is in the New York Times. The testimony underscores the depth of the dissent over a decision that was thought to be legally questionable and potentially harmful to Ukraine.
Well, yes. More and more is coming out virtually every day. We are seeing now that the president knew about the whistleblower's complaint much earlier than anybody had thought. The idea that Washington politics and the power of the presidency would not allow him to know exactly what was going on is nonsense. Of course he knew. And we are watching the potential for this experiment in democracy, known as the United States Republican democracy, could be over. It could be the end for what we know as our form of government. We have a president who doesn't give a damn about the third branch of government. Don't go. Don't talk to them. I say so. So what was considered unthinkable years ago is now the way that this president is doing business. And that's the way dictatorships and totalitarian governments evolve. And the reason for that is they have very little to fight back. This executive privilege, which we are seeing, which has always been what happens when strong men take over governments. We see it all around the world. We're seeing it here.
Meanwhile, Trump is denying now sending Rudy Giuliani to the Ukraine for the Biden probe, believable or not.
Well, David, we've been watching Giuliani for weeks now saying that he has insurance so that Trump won't turn on him like he's turned on so many others. And yet, it would appear Trump is doing exactly that. I mean, what's Rudy going to do? He's going to go up before microphones and say, this is how Trump and I thwarted the law? I doubt that very much. So it's a lot of mouth, or as we say in the case of Giuliani, braying.
Speaking of, at a rally in Florida, the president was out there again slamming the media, specifically the New York Times and the Washington Post. He told the audience, we won these last 2 weeks so solidly, referring to the impeachment inquiry, but he says anyone who read the Times and the Post would have no idea we won.
Well, yes, the press is the enemy of the people. And David, as I was referring to the evolution of totalitarianism and fascism in the United States, this is just another part of it. The first thing you do is you kill the press, and you say the press has to go, and they're lying all of the time, and then that becomes an excuse for doing away with them. I must say the Times and the Washington Post are fighting like crazy to make sure that everybody understands what's going on, but it is a very scary moment in the history of press relations with the government, and I hope that everybody will listen to the Media Project, because we'll be talking about that for sure.
Now we have the House Judiciary Committee announcing the first impeachment hearing on December 4th. Trump is actually scheduled to be in London for a NATO leaders meeting on that date, Alan, but it brings into the fold again the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Gerald Nadler, who has invited Trump to come to the hearing.
Yes, I'm sure that that's not going to happen, because if he comes to the hearing, he has to answer questions, and that's the last thing that these guys want to do. They want to claim that they've been shut out, but at the same time, they sure don't want to participate. Nadler, of course, is creating a scenario where he can say, we invited him, and he didn't come. And he's going to say, well, 1,000 excuses. They never really wanted me, whatever he wants to say. But if he goes, he has to answer questions. He's not going to do that.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. And a thank you to all in the WAMC family as we give thanks this season for all that you've done to keep WAMC whole, and to you, Alan, and all our colleagues here at WAMC. What a group to work with. So thankful.
You said it, David. There's a lot to be thankful for, even amidst these terrible times that we're facing. But we have WAMC, and David, I just want to say one last thing, and that is that some people are deciding where they can put some of the extra money that they have for one reason or another, and WAMC desperately needs it. So anything you can do to help out, that would be great. This is a time where we see a lot of people saying, hey, we need you, and here's a little something to help.
We appreciate whatever you can do. Be safe out there.